And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific and totally transforming and hopefully totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, there are many things that we anticipate. We expect the sun to rise tomorrow. We often expect heavy traffic. We expect that no matter who is in government, someone in government will say or do something stupid. We also expect God to respond to us as his children. The question is, what type of expectation do we have with God? Next, we have needs and we have wants and we have a must-have category. We have a could really use category and have a wouldn't that be swell category. The problem comes when we have too little or too much. Christians need to be more like Goldilocks and find the just right zone, the one that God intended. And finally, remember the classic science fiction movies and shows? What happened when the aliens would visit the Earth? They would say, take me to your leaders. And everyone would wait to see what happened. Isn't Christianity great? There is no take me to your leaders in the mind of God, at least not for the most important stuff. The leaders of the world in God's mind are the humble servants.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oive. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, not King David, just David, at hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. And when you call 972-445-0770, Amazing Jennifer will answer the phone. Are you going to do anything amazing when they answer the phone?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm not going to say. It's going to be a secret.
Oh, that's a good one. Well, I give you credit for that. That will be amazing for you. And then you get turned over to me and then, you know, well, everybody gets audited. Anyhow, bottom line to that is maybe you have a prayer request, a praise report. Maybe you have an answer to Bible trivia. Speaking of Bible trivia, let's open up with one that's rather easy for everybody to jump on board with. True or false, Jesus prayed in public, but it is never recorded that he prayed by himself in private. True or false? If you think you know the answer to that, by the way, you want to reach out to us, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483, or you can email david@hemustincrease.org. The point behind all of that is for us to stay in tune with the word. The point of the show is to encourage one another and strengthen one another as we see the day approaching. So for some people, it's a big part of their fellowship to be a part of the show. We think that's great. For other people, it's just a like what we would say kind of a boost, an encouragement. That's what we want. We want you to get one step closer to the Lord. That is our only premise for existence, is to just help everybody get one step closer to the Lord. That's it. Because that's what your eternity is going to be all about. It's not going to be about you, you know, outfitting your mansion It's going to be about spending time with the Lord. So you might have a prayer request, might have a praise report, might have an answer to trivia. You may have a question. You may have anything going on. You're welcome to reach out to us. I just want you to be aware it's not professional radio. We've done about 550 shows here, and I'm pretty sure we've demonstrated at least 549 and a half of them. It's not professional radio. So it's just radio. But it is a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, so you got to be prepared. Do we have somebody ready to answer? Okay, I'm leaning over. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. It's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Actually, I'm really happy because I kind of know what I got to do this week for my homework. So that always makes me feel less burdened. You know what I'm saying?
It's like
I know I need to do this, this, and this, and I can only do the best I can. So I feel like that's all I can do, Lord. So I just feel less pressure because of that. All right. So this is a straightforward, interesting question because of its implication. True or false, Jesus prayed in public, but it is never recorded that he prayed by himself in private.
I think that's false.
You are correct, Amanda. And that is really important because Jesus's time when he prayed in private, what people miss, and when people talk about doing devotions, they'll talk about doing Bible studies in churches, and they'll talk about different elements. But what Jesus did that was different that really people need to get a hold of is that he separated himself from everyone and everything and spent time with the Father. That is true devotions. That's that communion between us and the Lord. That's how you get right ministry, by having right relationship. That's why that's really critical. Excellent job. Very, very good.
All right. You have a great day.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Isn't she fantastic? I love Deborah. She's great. All right. Don't forget to pray for her friend Susie. Okay. Just a reminder. All right. Luke. No, I'm not doing an impression. That's pretty bad. Luke chapter 3, verse 15 says this. Now, while the people were in a state of expectation, and all were wondering in their hearts about John as to whether he was the Christ or not. Now, I want to stop there for a very particular reason. That phrase, a state of expectation, is a unique phrase in the Greek. So I like stuff like that because I think, ooh, that's fascinating. That's cool. In the Greek, it's prosdechao or prosdechaa, okay? More like prosdechao, and it means to look for. So you go back to it and you go, now, well, the people were in a looking for position. They were looking for something. And it's all about an attitude. Get this. This will just blow your mind. It's all about an attitude of God's generosity and expecting to receive. So what is some of the difficulty there for some of us who are, you know, genuine in faith? You've been a Christian for maybe more than an hour. Maybe somewhere less than 100 years, so somewhere between an hour and 100 years, is there are many times when we'll pray, and just be straightforward about it. So when God answers those prayers, it is like, whoa! You know, it's like a rainbow behind you, and somebody's throwing Skittles at you, and popcorn shooting everywhere, and you win, right? All right, that's how it feels. And then there's other times where we pray, and we've mentioned this before, it comes outside the left or right side of our mouth, and it dribbles down like you just went to the dentist, and it's dribbling all over your chin. It's just not getting out there. It's not very popular. It's not happening. Well, here's the thing. The thing is, when we pray, I know this sounds amazing, but there should actually be this element called an expectation. It should be an expectation that's connected directly to God's generosity. So let's just understand God's generosity. How much gold did he pay for you? None. How much silver did he pay for you? None. What did he pay with you? What did he pay for you? The blood of Jesus Christ. That's the payment that God made. So you look at that and you think of Romans 8:32, how will he not also give us, you know, all things, because he's already given us Christ? In other words, the God that you and I serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible between Genesis 1:1 and Revelation 22:21, 66 books, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New, about 785,000 words in the King James, less in the NIV, the God of the Bible, the God who created the earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that we serve is generous. He's not the Grinch. So there's times where you pray and you have to surrender every prayer to the Lord. You don't demand of the Lord, because you're not in a position to demand of the Lord. And I always laugh when people go, well, God can't do that. Stop telling God what he can and cannot do. Okay, sit down and be quiet. You're not in a position to do that. But what you can do is look at the character of God and look at the generosity of God and look at the graciousness of God and go, okay, I'm going to pray and do something amazing. I'm going to believe. I'm going to have an expectation about God's generosity to help me in this situation. Okay? If the Lord says no, then he has a reason for saying no. But don't always, we talked about just last week, the worst case scenario syndrome. Don't always look for the worst case scenario. Don't always expect the answer to be no. The church prayed for Peter. Just look in Acts chapter 12. When we get there, it's what I call the divine comedy. The church in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, they prayed for Peter to be delivered. Peter gets delivered, knocks on the door, and they don't believe it. But they prayed about it. They asked God to deliver him. God said, okay. They go, that's right, we don't believe it. Don't be like that. That is not the way we should be. Not only is it an insult to God, but it makes us look kind of dumb. Okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a wholehearted welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you and a very important part and point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation, desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect Father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect Father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the father and the father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the Father's like. Now listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect Heavenly Father who reveals his will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal, and I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have. I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do, before we give you the trivia question, before we do the sound we're going to do for it, I do want to give a shout out to Bill M. That's all I'm going to say. And the book that I've been working on, the re-release, is almost done. Then I'm going to send it off to Bill and have him take kind of a review, kind of a, you know, kind of a look-see to make sure that we got it kind of narrowed down, and then once he gets it back to me and then I do a final review with Noel, then we're going to release it, and then it's going to be free. So there's going to be no – we're going to put it in Kindle and just pop it up there and see what happens. And the whole idea, though, is for us to encourage people who have been hurt in church. That's – you know, I think that's a good thing. So anyway, be in prayer for us on that project and then also for Bill and his willingness to help, and we appreciate that. All right. Trivia question. All right, let's play that noise. Now, by now, if you've listened to this show more than once, you should know that's a warning. If you haven't figured out that's a warning, I'm not sure what I can tell you. Here is the trivia question. So that's the warning that tells you something is up with this trivia question. True or false? The last verse in the Bible says, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." The last verse in the Bible says that. True or false? If you think you know the answer, you can call in at 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. Or you can email in david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, I hold in my hands a couple of really bad jokes. As if you don't have enough going on, right? All right, that's okay. Okay, that's a pretty tricky question, by the way. I just want to say, here we go. A kindergarten teacher was walking around observing her classroom of children while they were drawing pictures. As she got to one girl who was working diligently, she asked what the drawing was. The girl replied, "I'm drawing God." The teacher paused and said, "But no one knows what God looks like." Without looking up for her drawing, the girl replied, "They will in a minute." All right, okay, all right. I got to work it in. At Sunday school, they were learning how God created everything, including human beings. Johnny was especially intent when the teacher told him how Eve was created out of one of Adam's ribs. Later in the week, his mother noticed him lying down as though he were ill and said, "Johnny, what's the matter?" Johnny responded, "I'm having a pain in my side. I think I'm going to have a wife."
No!
All right, here's the last one. That's a good long one. That's hilarious. Here's the last one. These are all youngy ones, so bear with it. It was a Palm Sunday, but because of a sore throat, 5-year-old Frankie stayed home from church with a sitter. When the family returned, they were carrying several palm fronds. Johnny asked them what they were for. "People held them over Jesus' head as he walked by," his father told him. "Wouldn't you know it?" Frankie fumed. "On the one Sunday I don't go to church, Jesus shows up."
Mission failed. We'll get him next time.
Hey, nobody said they were classics. Okay.
I thought that was funny.
All right, let's play our bad sound one more time, the warning sound, real quickly as I repeat the question. Folks, that should tell you everything you need to know. True or false, the last verse in the Bible says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And no, he wasn't talking to Shirley. All right, so...
It's pretty good, right?
All right, let's do the teaching. If you think you know, by the way, you can text in 214-210-8483 or call in 972-445-0770. I like this teaching that I'm going to share with you right now because it matters. Exodus chapter 36, verses 6 through 7. After Moses gave an order, they sent a proclamation throughout the camp Let no man or woman make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. So the people stopped. The materials were sufficient for them to do all the work. There was more than enough. There was enough. Okay? Here's the thing about this teaching. They didn't need excessive surplus. Okay? There was enough. That would be one good message to give to the government, no matter who's running it. Okay? When there's enough, there's enough. The idea in my mind that there's a budget and the only way to keep the budget is to have the same amount plus add 10% every year no matter what happens just seems a little funny. All right, somebody's calling in, so we'll grab that for the trivia. Here's the bottom line. The passage that I want you to catch is the Proverbs 37 through 9, okay? And then we're going to get to our caller in a second. Two things I ask for, don't deny them to me before I die. Keep falsehood and deceitful words far from me. Give me neither poverty nor wealth. Feed me the food I need. Otherwise, I might have too much and deny you, saying, who is the Lord? Or I might have nothing and steal, profaning the name of the Lord. So when we get back after this caller, I'm going to talk about too much or too little. Okay? All right, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. It's Samson.
Hi, Samson. How are you?
I'm blessed.
Amen, brother. You are blessed. You're a child of the Most High God. You're going to spend eternity on streets of gold. You won the lottery. You just don't know it.
Yeah, jackpot, not just a lottery.
That's right, jackpot. Good job. All right. True or false, the last verse in the Bible says, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.
It's false.
That is correct! You are right. Do you know where that verse is from? Surely I'm with you always even to the end of the age. Do you know where that's from?
It's from one of the Gospels. I believe it's Luke.
Okay, it would be Luke. Or it would be Luke or Mark, but it's the one before both of those.
Oh, Matthew.
That is correct! Here you go! It's at the end of Matthew, Matthew 28, 18, 19, 20, but primarily 20. That's why people are always like, well, that sounds like that would be right, but that sounds like is not right. Excellent job. How can we pray for you, my brother?
Well, I just want to share a testimony that God protected me two days in a row from probably I could have been dead.
Wow.
I won't be talking. Like yesterday, there was a really bad rain, and I was on a highway driving 70 miles per hour. My car slid, and it just go from one lane to another lane and turn to the, thank God there wasn't any semi or anything else before me or little after me, and then I end up in a ditch, and thank God my car didn't.
Wow. Praise the Lord, you're okay. Yeah.
And that was, and I still do not believe what happened and what caused it. The only thing I remember, I was praying for protection and to start my day. And that was, I still don't, David, to be honest, I don't understand, like, how could my car stop? And I believe wholeheartedly that was God. Through his divine presence, he did everything that I don't know.
That's amazing. What a graceful and great, I mean, Isaiah 68, or Psalm 68, I think, says, Psalm 68 says that God gives us deliverances from death. That is one of those instances.
Yes, and this morning, the same thing happened, like on the same highway. I was driving, and I don't know what's happened to my rear driver's side wheel, and it started making really bad grinding noise, and my car started shaking. And finally, I pulled it on a shoulder, and I saw that all of my lug nuts were out of my wheel, and my wheel was hanging on the thread.
Wow. Wowzer.
I was just praying for protection and all those things, and God showed up in a very real, practical way to sparing my life, and didn't cause any accident. Nothing happened to me, or nothing happened to people before me or after me.
Wow!
Yeah.
Let me offer a prayer of praise and again some additional protection for you. So let's join together and acknowledge the Father through this through this process. Father, we come before you right now. We just thank you for Samson. We thank you for saving his life twice, even if it wasn't something that would have been terminating his life. It was so dangerous and so serious, and you protected him from every angle, from the north, south, east, and west. And we just give you praise and thanks for that. It just testifies that there's more for him to do in the kingdom, that he has more to do for you and for your name and for your glory. We thank you for his fellowship. We thank you for his love. We ask you to bless him, encourage him, fill him full of joy. You have given him life and life abundant, and you have a purpose for that. And we praise you for that and thank you for his safety and ask you to continue that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
Amen, brother. Great, great testimony. And we just really, really appreciate you sharing that with us.
Well, thank you so very much for listening and praying for me.
You got it. You got it. All right. And we will keep on doing so.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. All right, we're going to take our break there and then come back. I'll finish up on that teaching when we come on the other side. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience, you say? I'll put it to you like this. Do you love a good joke that's pretty bad?
What do you call an animal that doesn't practice what it preaches? A hippocritopotamus. Come on.
Do you love being able to ask questions, comments, or having someone to pray for you?
If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, we don't want it to die of loneliness. We want it to have a chance.
And last but not least, do you love some trivia?
All right, we got our trivia question. Who made clothes out of leaves that were sewed together? Somebody want to answer the trivia question? Oh, okay, hold on. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
We're talking to Mary.
This is Al.
This is Brother Ace.
This is Eric.
This is Deborah.
Now, if that doesn't make you curious, maybe you should tune in and check it out for yourself.
Think of me as the big brother that won't go away. That's me.
Tune in to the David Spoon Experience weekdays at 1:30 p.m. on 770 KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
Again, Dr. Robert Jeffress. Doctor, are you there with us?
I'm here with you, David.
I'm so glad that you're here. I got to ask you this question. I get a little fiery, especially when Christians are being accused of things that are false, and that happens all the time, especially in the media. And I think if you remember our very first time we ever talked, I told you how impressed I was with you that you are able to keep your spirit steady.
Well, I appreciate that so much. You're a good friend.
I appreciate that. Here's the thing that drives me absolutely batty, which is where I need your help now. I understand this situation with Tim Tebow. He was going to do a dedication for you. He got a lot of pressure, apparently, from the media. The media accused you of being homophobic and anti-Semitic, which for me, I mean, It was. I guess when I first heard it, I was overwhelmed. First of all, anti-Semitic is a person who discriminates against or is prejudiced or hostile towards Jews. You've been on my show. Now, this is three times, and I'm as Jewish as they come.
Yeah, well, David, I mean, the charge of anti-Semitic comes from saying that everyone, including Jews, must trust in Christ in order to go to heaven. That is hardly anti-Semitic. In fact, I have a Jewish friend in New York who called me this week. She's not a Christian, but she said, I don't understand all of this. Said, I don't believe in the New Testament, but you do. You're simply saying what the New Testament says. And, you know, David, we've said before, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I remind people, Jesus was not a Southern Baptist evangelist. He was a Jewish rabbi. And yet you look at what he said, what the Apostle Paul said, the Apostle Peter. Here are the three most prominent men of the New Testament, every one of them a devout Jew, and yet they said there's one way to God, and that's through faith in Christ. That is not anti-Semitic.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, getting ready for our next trivia question. So why don't you get ready for it, and then we'll talk about Samson's testimony. That's really cool. And then we'll go from there. Here's this is a little tougher, and you need to think about this. To which ill woman did Jesus say on the Sabbath, you are set free from your infirmity? You are set free from your infirmity. The only key I'm going to give you is that she was in this infirmity for more than 12 years, okay, which is a hint because there was a woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. It's not her. That's kind of a nice hint, isn't it? Okay. Somewhere in the Gospel of Lukey. Lukey. If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Speaking of which, I do want people to check out the website because that is a place to give. hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okay, now I just want to briefly talk about Samson, his situation, because it was what a great testimony that he was able to share with us. First of all, if you drove on the road yesterday, I had to drive actually at this about the same time. It was bad. Okay, I've been here. It's only been 3.5 years, but it was like a top four, top five, pretty bad at that time. It was like, you know, when it's bad when you're driving, when your windshields are on high, and that doesn't matter. That's when it's bad, right? So I just am amazed that God granted him such grace, and that he skidded, and that he went over to the side there, and nothing happened. Everything was fine, and then again he turns around, and his tire's hanging on by a thread, not even by the lug nuts. And it's like, that is the wonderful, fantastic kindness, mercy, and grace of God. And I am of the persuasion that this happens for us more than we realize. I do believe, I'm one of those people that do believe, that when we get before the Lord, more will be revealed. And when that more is revealed, we're going to see just how many times God did intervene, either in our personal lives or our collective lives, or even, as far as I'm concerned, in the life of the planet, which I think, without God's intervention, might have blown itself up about 30 times. You just look at that and you think, that's what grace and mercy are all about. Grace has much to do with you receiving something you could not deserve. It's unmerited favor. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve, which would be judgment. And so if you can put those together, Samson had the experience of grace and mercy from the Lord. He had protection. God has something in mind. What a blessing and what an encouragement. So I just want to say thanks for that. Okay? Nice job on that. All right. So we do have people answering on the trivia question. We'll give it one more time. If Jennifer, if I forget, just remind me to give the answer before we exit. Okay? And I think most everybody has identified that it is in Luke 13. Luke 13. So that might be a help for some people. Again, if you want to call in, 972-445-0770 or text in 214-210-8483. I do want to finish. I know I probably shouldn't do it, but I'm going to do it because I do things I shouldn't do. I do want to finish off what we were talking about in regards to the teach. And the reason is I'm guilty of this. And so sometimes when I talk it out, it helps me. And in this passage, you know, where Moses gave this order, he said, and I made a comment about the government, and that probably wasn't necessary, although it's still true. Then Moses is like, all right, no more. You don't need to bring any more in. We got enough. That's enough. We're good. I haven't met too many churches or people or anybody that would say, you know what? Don't give me any more. I'm good. It's like that attitude is like rare, I would say. And yet, that's the instruction in Scripture. Again, Proverbs 3, 7 through 9. Two things I've asked. Don't deny me before I die. Keep falsehood and deceitful words far from me. Give me neither poverty nor wealth. Feed me with the food I need. Otherwise, I might have too much and deny you, saying, who is the Lord? Or I might have nothing and steal, profaning the name of the Lord. And the idea behind it, and I'm doing a little paraphrasing, so just bear with me in that, it's that we are to be mindful, watch this, that enough is enough. What happens is we get enough, and then we think, well, if I can have a little extra in the bank, then if something happens to the enough, then I'll have a backup. And then we think, you know what I'd like to have is a little extra in the bank for the little extra in the bank. Because then if something happens to the enough, then I have enough in the bank. And then if something happens to that enough, then I have enough. And then we go, you know what I'd really like to have is I'd like to have enough and then a little extra in the bank, then a little extra in the bank, and then a little extra in the bank again. And then we just, it doesn't ever stop where you go, that's enough. And that's a problem. Because what the Lord doesn't want us to do is be so focused on what we think we might have, or even so focused on what we don't think we have, that we've lost our focus on Him. Now think of the story of the five loaves and the two bread, the 5,000 men fed besides women and children, as being, of course, the only creative miracle that is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not talking about the resurrection, we've already covered that, but it's the only one. The miracle of the loaves and the fish is the only one in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, creative miracle-wise, is the only one in all four Gospels. And you just look at that and you think, what is it that Jesus did? He took what he had, he looked up to heaven, he thanked God for it, and then he gave it away. And it was just like, wait, what? And in our society, Jesus would look up to heaven. He would say, okay, this isn't enough. And then he would, like, you know, get some on credit or have other people. He would just start doing all these. Like, we would not just go, okay, this is good. Thanks. We'll just work with this. And what we forget is that God can multiply. And so either we want to control it in our own hands, and so we try to add more and more and more in the back end. And I do this. I do the same thing. So don't. I mean, I know other people do this. Or we have so little that we look up to God and we go, what? This is it? Instead of being thankful and being good stewards of what we do have, we're like, what? This is all you can muster? What are you, cheap? And it's just like, I know you don't say it that way, and I don't say it that way, but I process it that way. And the reason I share this with you is because I just, always get that sense if I'm going through it, probably other people, you know, are like me, they go through it. And the idea behind this is not to have too little where you curse God, not to have too much where you forget God. What you want is, do you want the ability to say, I have enough? And ironically, if we knew what the scripture was trying to teach us, we'd be able to say the same thing that David said in Psalm 23, which is one of the most recognizable passages in all of humanity. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then we could just stop. And we wouldn't have to, you know, what we have, we're thankful for. If the Lord gives us more, let's be good stewards of it. If the Lord, if there's less there, we trust that the Lord can multiply. But what we don't want is to have so little that we have this attitude going, or so much that we have this, I don't need God. Look at, I've got all this stuff in the bank. Now, I'm not going to say who this is. All I'm going to do is share this story. I know somebody who had millions of dollars. I'm not kidding. Not in the slightest. And their money at a very unique time was in a foreign bank, which was fine because they were earning extra interest until the government collapsed. And then they were trying to figure out, could they get a helicopter and break into the bank and take their money? It's just like, okay, see, this is where it's stop. Okay. The Lord knows what you need. He'll cover you. He'll take care of you. Yep. Sometimes it'll be easier. Sometimes it'll be harder. I'm not an idiot. I've been rich and I've been poor. Rich is better. I'm not lying about it. But you can't focus on the wealth. You can't focus on the surplus. And you can't focus on what you perceive as the less. You got to focus on the Lord. Again, do you think God could handle it? Do you think he can coordinate it? Of course he can. Maybe more of it has to do with us than the situation. Maybe it's just more our faith or God just trying to move us to a better place. I don't see this. I'm not speaking this down to you. I'm speaking this with you. I go through this too, okay? I need to do a better job. Be more focused on him than on the circumstance. Right? Okay. Okay, in regards to the trivia question, we asked, which ill woman did Jesus say on the Sabbath, woman, you are set free from your infirmity? The woman who was bent over for 18 years. Yowza, that's a long time. Talk about chiropractic work. Woo! All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What can you do?
Well, you recognize as your brother that just hearing you say that I hoodwinked you is, of course, satisfaction for me alone. So it's not like I need something beyond that. I think that works for me. And it's on the air and it's recorded. Back to the dust with thee.
The David Spoon Experience.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Not wanting to miss a moment, talking about The Moment with Kurt Warner.
Everything looks like you shouldn't go forward. You know, you can't take another step. You know, Peter, you can't step onto water. You just can't do it. Where we've got to step towards that faith, and we've got to trust God that He's got something awesome for us. And there's no question that that's an underlying theme in this show and in all of our lives, is that we've got to step out in faith if we ever want to be what God's called us to be.
The David Spoon Experience.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where this has just been another blistering show. So fast. Okay. Trivia question. Here you go. I'll make this one a tad bit easier because I don't want people to be mad. When Jesus told the professional mourners that the ruler's daughter, that's Jairus, was not dead but asleep, how did they react? What did they do? If you think you know the answer to that, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text 214-210-8483. Al stepping up, getting it done even before he finished the question. That is fast, Al. That is fast. Okay. We've covered that. I've got to do history because history changes tomorrow. So that's why I've got to do history. So let's go ahead and play the history
let's
sound.
Go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past.
Okay, there's some really good ones here. Okay, all right. First of all, this is a guy thing. It's Ugly Truck Day. Okay, I don't know.
Well, some girls drive trucks.
Well, I know, but are they ugly trucks or are they?
No, they're cute.
Okay, see, that's why it's a see. There you go. It's also National Ice Cream Soda Day, which I think that's pretty good. National Lollipop Day, I think that's pretty good. National Fortune Cookie Day. Okay, now there are three classic fortune cookies, right? Two that I will mention. One, when you open it up, it says, "Help me, I'm stuck in a fortune cooking company." That's kind of funny. And then one that I've had with me but lost recently. In God We Trust, All Others Pay Cash. I feel in my heart that that's worthy. It is also Nap Day, something I'm very bad at. Are you good at napping? I'm a terrible.
I love naps.
Do you do?
I do.
Even Noelle, like, you could be buddies.
They're the best.
I've had, like, in the last 20 years, I was actually counting. I have had, like, 5 naps, of which 3 times I either had pneumonia or, I mean, I was really sick. I just don't, I probably sleep about 5 hours. I don't sleep a lot.
I take a nap on Saturday and then one on Sunday.
Yeah. Just have you and Noel hang out together. You guys have a blast. The other two things to tell you. In 1969, Apollo 2 was the first manned mission to land on the moon on this day in 1969.
And they just Jeff Bezos.
What's that?
Jeff Bezos.
They
went up this morning.
They went up this morning?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean all the prices at Amazon are going
exactly,
up?
Exactly,
yes. Oh, yeah.
He has to pay for it.
You know that's going to happen. And then the last thing, which I thought was hilarious, is 1940, Billboard magazine first publishes its list of most popular songs. In 1941, everybody forgot who Billboard magazine was. Okay, got that done. Just moving on. So the trivia question was, what was the trivia question? Trivia question was, when Jesus told the professional mourners that the ruler's daughter were not dead but asleep, how did they respond? How did they react? If you think you know, you can call in. If not, Jennifer will remind me. I'll tell you just before they exit on the show. I love this little teach. I just love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. I know. I love it, love it, love it. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The greatest message of all of mankind, the greatest message, the arrival of Jesus Christ. Just consider the dramatic importance of this message. All the messages you've ever heard, even if somebody came up with there's an alien in Washington, D.C., wouldn't be as big as this announcement. God has become man. I mean, how big is that, right? The announcement was made to who? In the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock at night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. No kidding. The greatest message for all mankind delivered to the humble, not the high-minded or the high-seated. Here's something you should really understand. Take me to your leader does not apply to the kingdom of God the way it applies to mankind. Luke chapter 3, and the very next chapter, verses 1 through 3. Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod the tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip the tetrarch of the region of Etruria, and Trachonius and Lysonius, and there was the tetrarch of Abilene, and the high priest was Annas and Caiaphas, and the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. Yet all these guys in all these high positions, yet all these people in all these authoritative places, and where did the word of God come? To the dude out in the desert. Just think about that. All right, so this guy is eating locusts and wild honey. He's got a really bizarre set of clothing, right? He's a miracle baby. We already know that. You have all these leaders. You got Caesar and Pontius Pilate and Herod. You got Caiaphas, the high priest. You got the high priest was Caiaphas. Wow. Look at all those leaders. And where does the word of God come to? Oh, that humble guy out in the desert. It's like, why? Wait, take me to your leader again. It doesn't apply the way it applies in the way that things go in the kingdom of God. And we've talked about this before. Just be honest. Christianity's bizarro world, the Superman bizarro comic, where everything is backwards. You know, in order to live, you got to die. In order to receive, you have to give. In order to see, you have to believe. In order to be Christ-like, instead of reigning, you have to be humble. If you want the Lord to reveal things to you and show you stuff and teach you stuff and manifest things that you're just like, your brain just goes, woo, you can't be arrogant, titled, or privileged. You have to be humble. If the greatest message of God becoming man goes to who first? The shepherds. It's like you're just thinking, well, why would he tell those guys? Exactly. That's exactly it right there. Because of who those guys were. They were shepherds. They just took care of the sheep. That's the heart of God. I mean, it could have gone to power. It could have gone to authority. It could have gone to strength. It doesn't. And in the kingdom of God, what he's not looking for is you to be some, you know, super duper powerful anything. In fact, the more real you are, the better off you're going to be, especially between you and the Lord and you and everybody else. You don't have to be a fake Christian. Just be yourself. You're not perfect. You're forgiven, right? And you're being made to look like Christ one step at a time.
Sometimes those are very long steps. Okay, let's just deal with that.
But what God is looking for to reveal himself and to show himself and to teach us in is that humble of heart, that servant, that shepherd, that person out in the wilderness. Now look at John. He wasn't even a big guy on social media, John the Baptist. Oh, wait, there was no social media. That's the irony behind it. There was no social media, yet God poured his spirit on John the Baptist, and within a very short time, with no social media, that dude was so popular, it's not even funny. Jesus was so popular, he couldn't even enter into a city without the whole city coming out to meet him. Nobody's that popular now. And that's with all of our communications. When God says, it's this guy, you know. And so the idea behind this is for when we come before the Lord, when you come in prayer, or when you come reading your Bible, and just honest, when you come to church, when you're in any, just be humble, just be ready. I can't wait to hear from God. I can't wait to see what he's going to show me. Sometimes people go to church, they think it's about them. It's not about us. Church is about him. Life is about him. Right? When Paul makes reference to Jesus, he says, Christ, who is my life? Nah, when you got that spirit going, then you could write too. You see what I'm saying? So it's fantastic. It's wonderful because it's all opposite of what the world is. God's kingdom. It's just reading in the Psalms today. I was reading Psalm 119. So when the Lord sticks me in something, it's difficult for me to get out. I've been doing this a long, long, long time. So I'm in Psalm 119. I was in there yesterday. I'll be there today. I'll be there tomorrow. I'll be there on Thursday. And there's a passage in there where he just goes, I'm a stranger to the earth. It's like, wow. And someone, I'm a stranger to the earth. Isn't that, I read that and I think, that's beautiful. That's how I want to be. I want to be that. I want to be the guy that can pen that. I mean, I can't write, but I'm just saying, I want to be the guy that can honestly say, I'm a stranger here. This is not the place. I like it sometimes when Noelle and I are kidding each other, and then I'm just telling you, so just so you can. And then I say, well, maybe you'll get lucky, and then, you know, the Lord will say, time for Dave to go, and then he'll just take me up like Enoch. And she turns to me, and she does it. It happens a lot with her and I. And she goes, you'd like that, wouldn't you? like yes. 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 Because I'd rather be with the Lord. I mean, I just think that's the way to go. So I encourage you, be humble. Let him show you. Let him teach you. He'll show you so much more than you think. He's already shown me 10,000 times more than I could ever do for him. That's not even a joke. That's just absolutely the truth. And that's how kind he is, right? To all of us. Let's just pray real quickly. Father, we just thank you for your graciousness. Oh, we're so happy to hear for Samson and that you kept him safe. And we want everybody, all of us, Lord, keep us safe. Keep us in tune. Keep us balanced in your word. Keep us humble, Lord. We humble ourselves before you and pray you just pour out your Holy Spirit into us through the name of Jesus Christ. We just worship and praise you as we lift it all up in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.